Let's begin our time in the Word by quoting our scripture verse for the month of February from John chapter 13, 34 through 35. We got that on the screen, and so maybe you can close your eyes or ignore that screen and try to say it from memory this morning. Let's say it together out loud. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Amen. Today does begin a new sermon series called Elemental, Essentials for the Church. When you look at the word elemental, it has several meanings. Elemental is that which is primary, that which is basic, that which is fundamental. But elemental also relates to the elements of nature. And the four classical elements of nature are fire, water, air or wind, and earth. So in this series, we're going to look at what's fundamental to our faith. And we're going to use each of those classical elements and even see how the scripture uses those elements and what that means for us today. Today's element is fire. Jesus speaks of fire. In Luke 12, 49, Jesus says this, I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already set ablaze. Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John's talking there about Jesus who's coming after him, that he's going to come and baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus said, I came to bring fire on the earth. You see, Jesus has come bringing a movement with him, a revolution with him, a movement of fire. And what Jesus brings to us gives us life. The Bible says, in him was life and the light of all men. Our source of life on the earth comes from a gigantic burning ball of fire called the sun. But if you look at the sun too long, if you get too close to it in outer space, if you allow its rays to penetrate your skin for too long, it can burn and will burn. Fire can and fire will destroy. Just ask the people of California who've experienced the worst forest fires in their history, not just in 1 year last year, but in the year before that. The two worst years in their history, fire destroying so much of that beautiful state. Now, I kind of interrupted John the Baptist's words in Matthew 3:11. Let's look back at what he says about Jesus, how he's baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Keep going in verse 12. Matthew 3:12, John says about Jesus, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That speaks of judgment, of burning away the chaff. In the book of Hebrews, the writer says, chapter 12, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Fire is dangerous, but we've got to have fire to survive. We also need the fire that God brings to us. That's the title of this message. We need the fire. We need the fire of God. Before I kind of get into how we get that, I want to say this. We need God's fire because God's fire does purify us. And we need purifying. We need purifying from God. You know, when clay gets put into the fire, it turns white. And any stains that are there in that clay, those stains are melted away. The Bible refers to our testing by God as trials. In fact, Peter writes this in 1 Peter 4:12, the first half of that verse. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Peter says they're fiery trials, trials that will burn away those impurities. If there's anyone in the Bible who knows what it means to be tested and tried, it's Job. Yet what does Job say after he's been tested, after he's lost almost everything but his own life? He says this in Job 23, verse 10, but he's speaking about God, he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. God wants to refine us through the fire of trials. That's his purpose. One of his purposes in our lives. And we need this fire, church, the refining fire of God. And Jesus made sure before he left the earth the promise that we would get the fire. Look at Luke 24, verse 49. As you can tell, I'm hopping around this morning, lots of different scripture verses, but Luke 24, 49, Jesus says this, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Now, these words from Jesus are coming just before he's going to ascend back into heaven to be with the Father. For Jesus has died on the cross, he's taken every sin away, and he's risen from the dead, and he says, disciples, I want you to remain in the city. What city? Jerusalem, until you're clothed with power from on high. And then we read in Acts chapter 2, after Acts 1, when Jesus ascends back to the Father, in Acts 2, we read in the first few verses, the church there had gathered, the disciples had gathered in that upper room, and the Bible says, like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit comes and there's tongues of fire that appear over their heads. Fire fell when the Spirit was given. Jesus truly baptized his church with fire, and he's baptized us with the fire of the Holy Spirit's presence. We need this fire. I need the fire. You need to hear the fire of God in my preaching and see the Lord burning out his will through my life. There's four ways this morning I want to tell you that we can get the fire, remain on fire, continue to burn brightly for the Lord with his fire burning in us. Number one, first, we get around folks with the fire. We get around folks with the fire. Imagine as you walked in this morning and got your bulletin and you're also handed a piece of wood and some matches. At this time I said, we're going to break all the fire code and we're going to light some wood on fire. And each one of you will strike your matches, light that wood on fire. And then if you were to hold your piece of wood for a little while, because it'd get hot, right? There'd be a lot of little fires going along. It'd be pretty impressive looking from my vantage point. But what if you brought all that wood and piled it up on this altar and connected all the pieces of wood? It'd be a blaze. It'd be a mighty fire. Just an illustration. I'm not saying we burn down the sanctuary, all right? You get the point. Get around folks with the fire. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul gives Timothy an interesting command. He tells Timothy, for this reason I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The reason Timothy had this gift of God in his life was because he got around someone who had the fire. That someone was the Apostle Paul, the greatest disciple of Jesus who's ever walked on this earth. And when Paul placed his hands upon Timothy, there in that mentoring discipleship relationship, Timothy got the fire. He got the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. And that fire gets transferred. Proverbs 27, 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. More than being taught, really, Christianity is caught. I mean, if you hang around doubters, you'll doubt. If you hang around pouters, you'll pout. If you hang around shouters, you'll shout. It's caught. We got to get around, folks, with the fire. Now, a few weeks ago, Pastor James preached a great message on spiritual gifts, and we talked about our discipleship process. I think we've got that to project. So that's our new mission statement at First Baptist Church on the Square, exists to make disciples. That's why we're here, to make disciples by connecting people to God, others, ministry, and the world. If you look at number two on that process, on the diamond, it's connect. You see, connection takes place in small groups, in Sunday school, in Bible study, in discipleship groups. That's where connection happens. That's where you and I get around folks with the fire, and we start to burn more brightly for Jesus. It wasn't until I got around other Christians who were on fire that I really got the fire. It wasn't until I got into that men's Bible study in college and we had a time of prayer once a week with some other men that I really got around people who really loved Jesus. And guess what? It got transferred to me and I started getting more of the fire of God in my life. We need connection. We need community. I pray that's why you've come here this morning. I want to read one more scripture before we go to our second point from Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, because really, these verses are so needed today, more than ever before, in our mobile, busy, disconnected society. I mean, we're so connected by these, but we're still so disconnected as a community, as a world. We're artificial kind of relationships through these devices. We need the promises of God's word, and we need to hear these words today. So, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I love coming and gathering with God's people on Sunday mornings. I love Friday afternoon because I get to go and circle up with some men that I'm in a discipleship group with, and we sharpen each other, we pray for each other, we rebuke each other, we build up each other, and it's so critical. When I miss my D group time, I mean, I'm missing it. I don't want to get in the habit of not being around people with the fire. We must not neglect meeting together. But this is the culture we live in. Less and less do people want to gather regularly. But we need to so desperately to get around folks with the fire that we might encourage each other. Number two, how do we get the fire? How do we burn more brightly? Well, first we connect. We get with other believers and catch the fire. Secondly, we spread the fire. That may sound kind of counterintuitive. If you're wanting to get the fire, say, I want to spread it or give it away. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you see, to keep a fire burning, you got to keep getting fuel for it. Fuel has to be added to the fire. Think about a forest fire. How the fire and the heat from the trees will transfer from one tree to another, and that fire grows and spreads all throughout the forest. But what happens when all the trees are burned up in that forest? The fire dies. It's what happens when your charcoal burns up in your grill. No more fire. No more fuel. No more fire. Acts 1:8. Now, the context of this chapter is Jesus is going to baptize them with fire. It's going to happen in Acts 2. But in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You see, the fire of the Holy Spirit was given to us that we might have the power to be witnesses of Jesus. Now, in our process of making disciples, this is what it means to replicate or to spread. Look at number four, the blue line. It says share. by sharing or spreading the fire of God to others. That's what fuels the process that more people will then begin to worship God, get connected in small groups, learn their spiritual gifts, and serve God. Then we share the message, and it keeps going and building and flowing, and we extend the kingdom of God for His glory. It's a proven fact. I've heard way too many testimonies, and I've experienced it myself. You go away on a mission trip, serve God, share Jesus. You come back, what's going on in your life? You are burning with the fire of God. But too many times, the fire stops with us because we don't spread it to others. We have to touch other people with the fire of God, just as fire touches and spreads by touching fresh wood. Look at Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah talks about the fire in his body. He says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot." See, Jeremiah had a fire. He had a word from God that God would give him that he had to talk about. He had to proclaim to the people of Israel. And if he didn't, he said, I just shut up that fire in my bones. I can't hold it in. I've just got to let it out. If the fire of God's holy presence is truly burning within us, then we won't be able to keep it quiet. Just like Jeremiah, that fire will just have to come out. The fire God's put in us is not to be contained, but proclaimed. But many times we don't spread the fire because we instead quench the fire. Which brings us to number three. We've got to remove what quenches the fire. We've got to stay combustible. We've got to stay combustible. Go back to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." If we're not combustible, we're not going to burn. Timothy was young, dry wood that was ready to burn. That's why Paul would later say to Timothy, "These things I'm telling you, Timothy, and trust these things to faithful men who'll be able to teach others." Paul saw in Timothy a disciple that he could make who was combustible, who was teachable, who was malleable, somebody who would receive the gift of God and share that message. He was dry wood. He was ready to burn. Let's go back to our discipleship process. Looking at the process together again, when we look at the process, when we look at the diamond, there's the diamond, all right? Worship, connection, and once you get in a small group kind of environment, you begin to learn more about yourself, and others begin to help you see what your spiritual gifts are. You see, Paul put his hands on Timothy, and the power of the Holy Spirit equipped Timothy with his spiritual gift that he was using in ministry. That's what we discover as we're in community. We discover how we might use our spiritual gifts to serve others. That's our call. It's not about us. It's about other people. We're to serve others with the gifts God's given us, and we're to share the good news of Jesus and spread that message. Let's get back to the sermon point, though. We have to stay combustible. Think about this. There'd be nothing for Timothy to flame, to fan into flame in his life if he was wet wood. If Timothy was wet wood, there would be nothing that Timothy could do at that moment to fan the flame because the flame would go out. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the Spirit." Do not quench the Spirit. It's sad. But many churches and Christians can be notorious fire snuffers. We see somebody on fire for Jesus. Oh, they're a little extreme, and we question their motives, and get jealous of them, snuff out that fire and snuff out the own fire in our lives. Or maybe this, we get isolated and we don't feed the flame in our lives, and the fire just burns out because we're isolated and not growing. We're stunted in our growth. But most likely, what happens in our own lives, what quenches the fire, is spiritual laziness, complacency, unconfessed sin, and we become watered-down versions of what we know we should be, and our wood isn't dry kindling ready to ignite. Maybe this morning, you really want to burn again. Maybe burn for the Lord for the first time. I found these words some time ago, and William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, his wife Catherine said this around 1890. She said, "I travel around the country, and I hear a lot of eloquent words and many sermon masterpieces, but what my soul longs for are burning words." Listen, I long to preach burning words and hear burning words. If you need the fire today, you're in the right place. Number four, stay near the source of the fire. I'm finally going to slow down and look at one passage with you. Let's turn to Luke 24. What a chapter. What a chapter. The women come to the tomb at dawn, and Jesus isn't there. They run back and tell the disciples. Can you imagine the commotion that was taking place on Easter? And there these two guys we read about, and they're going from Jerusalem to this village called Emmaus. It's about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. It's a good walk. And while they're going along, they're just talking about all that's taken place. And there's this stranger they see, and that stranger approaches them, and they invite the stranger to come along with them in their journey. And it's Jesus, but he doesn't let them recognize him. He can do that. He's God in the flesh. So they're walking along with Jesus, and they're talking about all that's happened, about Jesus being crucified. We thought he was the Son of God. We thought he was the Savior, but it's the third day, and yet the women went to the tomb, and he wasn't there. An angel spoke to them, and they're just kind of like bumbling in their unbelief. And this is what Jesus says to them in Luke 24, starting in verse 25. He says to them, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, listen to this, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" They went straight to the source of the fire. Jesus, the Son of God. And he explained to them all through the whole Old Testament how the Bible talked about him and testified to him, and their hearts were set on fire. If you find that your flame is flickering out, go back to the source. Go back to Jesus. Go back to his word. Go back to calling on his name in prayer. Gather together with other believers and begin to worship and praise and glorify the name of Jesus, and the fire will start burning again. Moses spent days upon the top of Mount Sinai with God. He came down, his face was glowing. When you and I spend time with God in worship, the first part of the discipleship process is the very reason that we were created by God, to honor him and glorify him forever. It's all about living a life of worship. And we gather together on Sunday mornings to worship. Yes, we receive. Yes, we get benefits from it, but it's not about us. We come here to glorify Jesus and lift up His name. And as we worship God, as we praise Him together, as we go to His Word, as we pray, we worship Him. We glorify the Lord and we commune with Him, and the fire gets rekindled from the source of the fire. Amen. So is your heart cold? Go back to the source. Fall in love with Jesus, who rekindled the fire and keep it burning. But this morning, maybe you've never had a fire. Pastor, I've never had a fire. Maybe your belief in Jesus was just up here. And it's got to start there. We've got to understand and know the gospel of who Jesus is, that He died for our sins, He rose from the dead, and we receive Him as Savior. And maybe you just said those words, but there's never been a fire. I was praying with somebody this morning. He was telling about a friend he's trying to help. Could it be that maybe you know a lot about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus? That's what it means to be born again, to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That changes everything. That's what begins the fire that we're talking about today. In Jeremiah 23, 29, this is becoming a life verse for me. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God is fire, a hammer breaking away the rocks in our lives, chiseling away. It's a sword and it's a hammer and it's fire. Yes, the Spirit of God is fire, but oh yes, the Word of God is fire. We need the fire of God. Church, we've got to stay connected with others to keep the fire burning. Some of us this morning need to repent. Repent of our inconsistency of connecting with other believers in small groups in worship. We need to spread the fire urgently. We had a deacon's retreat yesterday. And we talked about how much people around us need Jesus. This church, through the years, recently has done a pretty good job of reaching the people that are already here. But there are thousands around us who need Jesus. And we repented, and we confessed, and we prayed. Some of us cried, and we said, God, we want to be men who believe and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to stay near to the source of the fire. We need to take whatever is in our lives that's quenching the fire and get rid of it. And stop snuffing out the fire in other people's lives and start fanning it into flame. We're going to sing our final song of the day this morning. I want to invite Anthony to come and lead us. God loves us. That's why He gives us His fire. That's why Jesus told His disciples before He left them, He said, I'm going to send you a comforter, a helper. I'm going to baptize you with fire because Lord knows He knew we need it. We need the power. We need the fire. We need to be purified. We need God. So the invitation this morning is pretty simple. Do you need the fire? You come to the altar and ask God to light a fire in your heart. You can make an altar in your seat. Maybe you need to come forward and unite with our church. It's time to say yes to membership here, to start that process. You want to get around folks with a fire. Maybe you just, there's just things in your heart you need to confess or bring to God for prayer that you might get the fire today. This is the place we receive new members. This is the place where you can publicly tell this church, yes, I have decided to follow Jesus. I want to get baptized. I want to get saved. I want the fire. You come. Let's pray. God, we pray in Jesus' name that you would send forth your Holy Spirit who's already here in this place, and that the fire of God would burn throughout this congregation and bring us to a place of repentance, of obedience, of spiritual awakening. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand. Let's sing. Let's worship. Any public...